I don't know, man. I really don't know. I think that what are you doing? Okay, no, I'm recording. Bye. You know what I mean, LeBron likes him, pushed for him, all of that good stuff. The players respected him. You know, everything that's coming out of Cleveland is saying that everybody went to him anyway. But Kane, are you the X's and O's guy? Like, I understand you may have that camaraderie that comes from playing in the NBA, the respect of winning a championship, all of the accolades that come with it. But you know, what have you learned over the last few years to draw plays, to coach through situations? And you know what? I mean, Tyrone has been in them, you know, in his playing career, so he's seen it. But I just don't know his level of that's the thing that they said about Blatt. Blatt, when it came down to the X's and O's, they said he was really good at that. But the players didn't like him. And did you hear about the rebellion, about the Portland game?
Nah.
So part of the reason they say that what happened is over the last couple of months, this has been building up, and that it was after the Christmas Day loss to the Warriors, they were mad or upset. The players were upset that Blatt made some changes, some roster changes or personnel changes, and didn't tell them about it. So, you know, they ended up, of course, going out losing that game by four. And then after that, that's why they said that game that they got blew out by Portland, that was more like a rebellion game. At least that's what that's what's being said. I think Windhorst said that. And he said that that's why they play so bad. Because remember, I don't know, you looked at it, you were like, man, you just lost to the Warriors. You go out and you lose like that. Like, it didn't make sense. Like, you think you would come out with more competitive fire than what they did, but they didn't. So they said the players started to kind of rebel against Blatt. And that one, it was a wrap after that.
Yeah, man. Yeah. What up, what up? What up, what
What's up,
up?
Kyle?
Can y'all hear me? Yep.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Is this thing
Hey, hey.
on?
Yeah, just lock my door real quick. Kind of crazy, man, because I just think about Tuesday and after everything that went down Monday and the rant about Black gotta go, right?
Right.
And here we are Friday and he's out. But I think they made the right call, man. You can't, like I said Tuesday, you can't waste another year of LeBron. You know, he has a lot of mileage on him. He went to the finals last year. He just got wet. You know, lost to the Warriors twice. In the second game, you didn't really make any adjustments. And as a matter of fact, you look worse. You know, at that point, it's time for you to go. And let's give LeBron the guy that he and his boy has been lobbying for. And now, for me, I'm looking at this. Now that all the shock and awe and everything has worn off, now it's like it kind of goes back to the conversation we had, right, Kyle?
Right.
When you're looking at LeBron now and say, okay, this is
Yeah.
on you now.
Exactly.
Blatt, as everybody has said, was the scapegoat. Whatever happened, whatever loss happened, for the most part, depending on what happened during the execution part of the game, the plays drawn up, et cetera, people were going to look at Blatt and say, yo, man, like he ain't got it. That is gone. You wanted Tyronn Lue. You wanted Tyronn Lue last year. You got him. You still have the same roster. Put up or shut up.
I don't know, man. I think the thing that kind of, I mean, first, well, it goes back to, like you said, we talked about this on Tuesday's show, and you and I talked about it on Twitter, kind of going back and forth. I don't know, man. I don't like the move, to be honest. I think it just seemed like a knee-jerk reaction. I get all of the stuff that everybody's saying. I would not have made the move just yet because you still
So
don't
what
know
do
what
you
you're going to. I think you got to ride it out to the end of the season. You know,
think?
it wasn't like Cleveland is going to, you know, implode or whatever like that. I mean, they're still the number one seed. I mean, they have 11 losses.
Kyle, I think you're looking at it from outside looking at it, man. When there's reports about the locker room not being stable, it is over. It's a wrap. You have to make a move. You have to make a move. Because for he was never respected by the star player.
Well, I mean, Blatt, to keep it real, Blatt was he was a dead man walking. I mean, he was, and the reason why I say he was a dead man walking, because they hired him. I mean, yeah, they hired him and then LeBron came. So, you know, it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't necessarily going to be a match made in heaven. They had to adjust to each other and everything like that. I get what you're saying.
But
I
just don't. Go ahead.
I think the problem that I have with it is that it's almost seems like a knee jerk reaction. And of course, now you made a good point. If there's something wrong in the locker room, we'll never know. But I think part of the issue is that, yeah, there's a lack of respect. But I don't necessarily know that Tyronn Lue is any better than David Blatt. And this team,
I don't know that either.
This team is fundamentally flawed. And we were joking on Twitter. I mean, I don't even know if you put outside of maybe Phil Jackson or Popovich, I don't know that any other coach could bring this to, because ultimately we know pretty much the Cavs are going to get to at least to the finals. You know, nobody in Eastern Conference is going to beat them, but they're not even close to these two top Western Conference teams. So firing Blatt doesn't necessarily mean that things are going to change. I don't think.
Okay, two things. First off, Blatt, if LeBron would have signed first, would you have still chosen Blatt as the head coach?
Probably not, because LeBron gets to pick his coach.
Not regardless of who picks who or you're not gonna pick Blatt. That's the thing.
Right,
Blatt is not an option. He's not even on the list. He's not even a consideration. Right. So he was never the right man for this job. And they tried to make it work, and he's just not the right guy for the job. I always said I thought he could really coach. He's not an NBA championship coach. He has to learn the NBA lifestyle, the NBA culture, the players. That this situation was not fair for his development.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You make the move now. You gave him more than enough time to know if it will work or not. In the locker room, David Griffin said, Stephen A. said, you seem like little cliques. On a championship team, that does not happen. Everybody's on the same accord. We all might not hang out like outside, but like when we're doing team activities, everybody's together.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That's part of championship fabric culture. That's what happened in Miami. I'm pretty sure that's what it is in Golden State, San Antonio, all of these teams. I think that they need to move Love. I think you need to strike
while the iron's hot.
I think that if Sacramento is willing to take this trade, you make this move. Now,
Cousins,
you know what I'm talking about.
You talking about Cousins, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I saw the rumors. I started seeing the rumors after me and Ken had the discussion, when was that, Tuesday on Twitter. I thought it was just a joke, but then I started seeing rumors everywhere about Cousins possibly being moved to Cleveland for Kevin Love.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, that would be insane, bro. That would be crazy. You're talking about a guy that can score anywhere on the court. He's shooting threes now. It would almost be unfair because you could just it's like – he'll have his version of Shaq, like this year, this generation's the closest thing to Shaq in terms of an unstoppable force. You know, obviously he's not Shaq. Don't get carried away, people.
Right,
but
right.
Yeah. But the most physically imposing big man in the game.
But how? But yeah. But now we know that that's a rumor. How likely is that? Or is it just wishful thinking?
No, I don't. Look. It's not wishful thinking. It's definitely a move because I think Sacramento has to look at it from this standpoint where you may have to move on from DeMarcus because he has not been successful there. He just has not been. And you can't let somebody like that just walk. You always have to get something in return. And mm-hmm. Kevin Love is something nice in return, because we know when this guy was the number one option, he put up 30-30 games. That's still in him. He didn't forget how to ball. It just maybe doesn't work in Cleveland with these two guys. And that's all the way possible. And if mm-hmm. he goes to Sacramento, he will be the number one option, undoubtedly.
Right.
Who else do they have?
Nobody.
Play through Kevin Love. And then it's going to be a familiar situation. He's going to have a pass-first point guard that sees the entire floor, sets everybody up. You know, you have a coach that knows what it is to play through a four-man from the high post. You know what I'm saying? That he knows how – he has Sean Kemp and Gary Payton. He, you know, George Karl knows what he's doing. So I think he can have success there, and I think it gives now a chip to Kevin Love. Because that trade means that you are trash.
Right.
You did not fit. You can't ball with us. So that gives him a chip. And he has Rudy Gay out there. It's not like Sacramento's like down in the dumps. They have some talent. They just got to put it together. And I think that's a nice reset button for both of those guys. And it makes sense for both of those guys.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It, like I said, it sounds good. It looks good on paper. I'd like to know if they, and of course we got probably what, another month before the trade deadline, maybe a little bit more than that. I think the thing that's interesting is that Love just, we talked about it during the game the other day. He looks lost. And what was interesting, and FIFO, you could probably speak to this. He looked more comfortable in Cleveland when Kyrie wasn't there. Did you see that too?
I think not necessarily.
Because you got two guys that dominate the ball, and then he's a guy who's used to get, and we talked about it the other day. Like, Love needs to be on the block. I mean, I'm okay with Love shooting threes, but they run very few plays for him. And Doug Collins, I saw him talking about it in the pregame. You know, like that you have to get your three best players involved. They don't necessarily do a really good job of getting him involved, particularly early. And then when he does get involved, it's three-point shots. You got to put him on the block and run some post-ups for him. Run some post-ups. And LeBron doesn't post up half as much as he probably should.
No.
But it looked to me like he just – when Kyrie came back, he really just didn't fit.
Look, I'm going to tell you like this. David Blatt is not utilizing – all of the skill sets LeBron has. And the reason why I say that is this is why I say Spoelstra was a championship coach. You saw that they had a system. Why are you laughing,
Roz? Rod, man. He said we cursed David Blatt.
But
oh man, come on, man. My bad.
Spoelstra had a system, and that system allowed everybody to play at maximum efficiency. You look at those guys' numbers, some of them dipped in overall numbers, but their efficiency was through the roof. And why? Because he posted up LeBron more. It wasn't just pick and roll LeBron. That was year one, but by year two, three, four, and five, or however many years he was there, four straight finals, they actually – LeBron had a post game, and he's not being utilized like that. You're right. Kevin Love does stand around the three-point line too much, but it's ultimately on the coaching staff to create something where their best players can maximize their talent, and we have not seen that. Now, I think that's the biggest challenge for Tyronn Lue. It's not necessarily just playing for me. Obviously, he has the buy-in of the players. He has the buy-in of Doc Rivers. He's played for Phil Jackson, coached, played under Doc Rivers, and coached with Doc Rivers. So this man comes from a great lineage, almost the same cloth as Steve Kerr. Just he had Pop. He played for Pop. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So he has, I think, the pedigree, and we'll just see. And I think that they have to move Love. I think they will move Love. Because if you listen to what David Griffin said, he says every day we have to ask ourselves the question, are we closer to winning a championship?
And nope.
When you measure yourself to those other two teams, who gives you a better chance, DeMarcus or K-Love? I'm picking DeMarcus, yo.
Oh, no question. Yeah, if you can do it, do it.
Exactly.
I get, and Ryan said he's going to call in a second. I know you guys saw it. What do you guys think about the notion that they are saying that this was done without even consulting LeBron?
Well, I think that they called Blatt and told him he was out. I think the consultation with LeBron took place last year. So they already knew where he stood. I think they didn't need his blessings to make the call. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Everybody knew. If we know, you already know.
Right.
They know before we knew. You know what I'm saying? So I think at that point, it's just a matter of them making the decision, calling Blatt, letting him know he's out, and then calling LeBron and say, yo, we made the move.
What about you, FIFO?
And I also think because David Griffin, he wanted Blatt, and he kept Blatt. He gave Blatt as much time as possible to make it work. You know what I'm saying? Because if it was up to LeBron, he would have been gone. He wouldn't have been the coach.
LeBron
would have fired. I believe that.
Day one, that LeBron was there. As soon as I signed my name on this contract coming back to Cleveland, I would have fired David Blatt if I was LeBron James and I had that authority. That just would have been.
I believe that. But I don't believe that they didn't consult LeBron. Because here's the thing.
But
we got to remember that LeBron is on a 1-year deal. LeBron, while it doesn't seem plausible that he's going to walk, he could walk. And not only did they fire Blatt, but they gave Tyronn Lue like a 2 or 3 year deal.
But look, man, Tyronn Lue was associate head coach, so it was only a matter of time.
And he's the next man, right?
So it was only a matter of time. Second of all, why do you need to consult somebody with something that already needs to be done? And it's your job to do it. You see what I'm saying?
Well, because that's the franchise player. There's nobody.
But look, outside looking in, we already know. Didn't I text you guys that interim head coach was going to be Tyronn Lue? And I'm not no NBA insider. And he became the head coach. It's only the natural progression. Anybody can see that.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm talking about the fact that LeBron
consult LeBron to know it was going to be Tyronn Lue.
Because here's the thing: if let's use another team. Let's use
the team that we're talking
about. I'm just saying, if Billy Donovan were to get fired tomorrow, there's no way that they don't consult with Kevin Durant. No matter who the next guy
that's
is.
That's a different situation. That's a completely different situation.
I'm talking about stars. LeBron, there's no doubt in my mind that LeBron got that man fired. And whether or not he deserved to be fired,
David Blatt got himself fired, Kyle.
Well, we can say that too. But what I'm saying is that I don't believe for a second that they woke up today and said, you know what, we're gonna fire him. And here's what Jalen said on TV. He said that, you know, Stephen A. said that they didn't necessarily have to consult LeBron, like LeBron's attitude, his demeanor. He's kind of giving off the impression like, I ain't really checking for this dude. So LeBron didn't have to come out and say, or at least this is the way Stephen A. spun it. And I think it's a bunch of lies, but that's just my opinion. I think they're spinning it like LeBron didn't have to come out and say, fire the guy. He's just like, look, man, if that's y'all man, that's y'all man. That's your man right there.
This is nothing new.
We questioned last year.
You already know how I feel.
We questioned last year whether or not
when I'm
waving
off substitutions. When you are a player, do you understand that's the most disrespectful thing that you could do to a coach? Wave off statistics. That's supposed to be my job. I'm supposed to say when is the best time for who to come in and when not to. And I have this. That's what they pay me millions of dollars to do. And I wave off a substitution. The writing's been on the wall. Every time there's a problem, LeBron goes and consults with Tyronn Lue. Don't you think that Michael talked to Phil?
Of course Michael did. No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that, yes, that happens. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that there's no doubt in my mind that they did not say, hey, man, Bron, we're going to let Dave go. And I'm not saying that they necessarily look for the thumbs up or thumbs down. But if that was LeBron's guy, there's no way that he gets fired without LeBron knowing. I don't believe that.
But it was never LeBron's guy.
He didn't. And that's my point. The fact that he's not LeBron's guy makes it even worse, because now you know that LeBron don't like him. So they didn't. No, what I'm saying is that I'm not. What you're missing is that I'm not saying that they called LeBron and said, "Hey, man, hey, we think we might fire Dave today. What you think?" I'm not saying that they said that. What I'm saying is, it is not plausible to me that the franchise player, that an executive decision was made about a coach, regardless of whether or not the player liked him or not, and he was absolved from that. I refuse to believe that. That happens nowhere in the NBA.
Well, I think that for me, right, is that I don't think, of course, they probably didn't call him today, but the fact is, I think we all knew.
Right.
They already knew where LeBron stood. So whether he went to their office or whether they called him or this, that, and the other, LeBron and his boy Rich Paul has made it known that they didn't want him. So I think the consultation part that you're talking about already took place.
Right, right. Yeah, I agree with that.
Last season.
Yeah, with them just – I don't think they had –
interview.
Yeah, they probably did. Could have been there. Could have been there. It could have been, you know, just them leaking information. So I think the consultation, like if you hearing this stuff, maybe you pull LeBron to the side, like, yo, man, like
they didn't need to.
If what we're hearing is true.
Right.
And then at that point, you're like, okay, like FIFO said, David Griffin wanted to keep the guy and he kept the guy and tried to see if they could make it work. But when you lose to the Spurs after you were leading by 12 or 15, I can't remember, and you lose that game late, and you lose another game on Christmas Day when you were in that game. I think at that point it kind of comes, and we're not going to talk about Monday.
Ken, let me pause.
It comes down to the coach.
Let me pause.
Yeah, go ahead. Quick,
because the games after that, well, after the blowout here, right, in Cleveland, they went to Portland, and you were talking about the that game and how they went against the coach, they revolted against the coach, and then they played against Phoenix, and they needed a game winning shot by Kyrie. Like you, that's not how you bounce back. That's not how championship teams bounce back from tough losses or blowout losses. It happens. It happens. But it's not just that game. It's the games after that as well. It's how the team responds. The team is not responding, and it doesn't take an insider to see that and to know that and to feel that, which is the reason why we had the conversations we were having before it even happened.
Yeah, and to be – I mean, you know, I think the record itself, the 30 and 11, I know a lot of people look at that, but I think the Cavs can win games by accident.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, they got enough talent to do it, yeah.
Yeah, they don't have to play, you know, hard to win a game in the league because they got LeBron, you know, and whatever – regardless of what people say, they got Kevin Love, you know, and Kyrie's bad. They can just win games by stepping on the court. But when it comes to competition like the Warriors, competition like the Spurs, that's when you need, you know, buy-in. Coaching. That's when you need the coach to step in, you know, because they're not going to be games like that. And we've seen – we saw last year, I mean, you know, where Black got our coach, where, you know, Kerr went to small ball.
He never made his adjustments.
And instead of Black staying big, which worked for him and got him two games – he tried to match him and ended up getting blown out of the gym. So you have an advantage. Use your advantage. Kerr made the adjustment. Keep pounding the rock and see if it'll work. But he never did. So he kind of got out coached. And the ISO ball that they were running, there were a lot of things that they were doing that look at that. You'd be like, what?
Go ahead.
This doesn't make sense. The question is I'm looking at Tyronn Lue. And I'm definitely looking at LeBron because, like I started the show off with, you got your guy. Yep. You and Rich Paul got your guy.
You got your guy and you got your team.
No more excuses, bro.
None.
And now let's see if Tyronn Lue can do what you think he can do for you.
What you got on it, Ryan?
Well, first things first, where did you guys hear about DeMarcus Cousins? Where did you see that rumor?
That rumor's been – it's been circulating probably for the last 4 or 5 days. I've seen it on Bleacher Report, SB Nation, reputable websites.
Okay. Well, again, did it come from like a Steve Kyler, like an insider or anything like that, or was it just like a rumor might have heard through like the grapevine or something like that, or like speculating?
The one that I saw on SB Nation was from an insider. I can't remember. I think, okay. And I'm not, if I have to go back and check DES timeline, I think I tweeted it out.
Okay. All right. I'll check it out later, but I'm highly doubtful. The Kings are in eighth place. They have a new arena coming. They need their franchise guy. They've said DeMarcus is off the table from get-go. Vlade is not returning calls. They're calling him up, and he's not even picking up the phone to call back. They're not trading him, and not at this point. Not after they finally got the eighth seed. They have the hope, and they're clinging on to it. They're not. I don't see him being traded this year.
Well, the question is if we get Cleveland calling, do you answer?
He hasn't.
I mean, because
Kyle, he's not taking calls. He's not returning the calls to anybody that say DeMarcus.
Well, here's the thing, but that's the question though. If somebody, let's say, I don't know, Boston is calling or Washington is calling, you're not probably looking to trade Cousins for anybody on those teams. But if someone if Cleveland comes calling with a Kevin Love, and maybe they throw in, I don't know, you know, throw in somebody else, you never know.
No. They've been calling for all. I read the report. If I can find it, I'll tweet it to you. It's been a lot of trades. The only trade that has been come out for sure that they've done out was trying to get Ryan Anderson for Rudy Gay. That's the only thing that's come out that he actually actively called on. Otherwise, there's execs saying he's not returning my calls. He's not returning.
Well, you know
my
how
calls.
It goes at this time of the year. Where there's smoke, there's fire. I mean, and we don't know anything. Like I said, we got at least a month and a half before the trade deadline. But it's
it's February 18th. It's less than that.
Okay, so less than a month. So it's whatever this is. This got running legs.
After February 1st, because I'll say this on the podcast. After February 1st, that's the last trade restrictions for guys like Danilo Gallinari. You're going to see a lot more rumors come out, I think, and you're going to see any other deals besides the one Josh Smith got traded for cash. Besides that, you're going to finally start seeing some people actually start to get moved, I think, after the first.
I didn't understand that.
You know what? I don't think they need to move Love just yet.
No, I don't think so either.
Yeah, I just think Black didn't know how to use him. I mean, we all know Love can play in the post. Love can play on the outside. Love can pass. Love can rebound. Love can do a lot of different things. I think Black and this personnel, which is one of the things that I think Griffin said, Black wasn't the right fit for the personnel that they had. Maybe Lou has some ideas in mind, and we'll see once we see a couple of games. We'll see what offensive sets that Lou instill on that team. And if they still have Love running around on the perimeter, then yeah, he got to go because obviously you guys, they just don't know how to use him. But it's not like Love can be a strictly, he has to play on the perimeter like they've used him. Work inside out, man. I say it over and over.
That's how the NBA
is. The thing is, you know, we kind of saw it last night, right? And I don't know how many opportunities, because I only saw like parts, like I missed like the first quarter, but we kind of saw a little bit last night of what they could do when they start moving the ball around. And my thing has been, and I said it on the show Tuesday, Kyrie and LeBron can get theirs when the play breaks down or when there's something late in the shot clock. So they don't have to really necessarily be the focal point. They can be the heroes. But everything else, they can just work in the offense, you know, and try to get Love going. Love is a guy, you got to get him going early, man. That's what I think.
Oh, that's true. Because if you don't get him going early, he doesn't feel like he's a part of it. So that's when you see him kind of drift. And then you see you end up seeing the box scores. Love has, you know, 8, 10, 12 points when he's, you know, much, much more productive than that.
Yeah. And he only had 10 official shots, but he took like 8 free throws. So, you know, but he, you know, he's had 2 good games back to back. But now, again, I'm looking at Tyronn Lue because I really, really honestly don't know if he's the guy. Even when they were talking about this last year, I never felt comfortable with Tyronn Lue. But for whatever reason, and LeBron does, and I guess they've had a lot of conversations, Tyronn Lue and LBJ,
right,
about the things that they can do as a team and as a unit. And we'll see.
Well, you know how it goes when you're the star player or whatever like that. And Doug Collins made a good point. The assistant coach is the conduit between the star and the player sometimes. The star players and the head coach. And so you know, relationships get formed a lot. You know, sometimes as a player, you might be closer to the assistant coach or your position coach in football than you are to the head coach because you spend more time with them, that type of thing like that. It's going to be interesting because, again, we don't know what Tyronn Lue can do. He definitely has credentials, obviously, and he's played the game. And like you said, Ken, at the beginning, there's a level of respect because he played in the league and he's been successful. So I don't know, man. I just with this team, the way that they're structured, I just don't know that they have enough to beat anybody coming out of the West.
I think they can.
Series. I don't see it. I just don't. Whether it's San Antonio or Golden State. Let me ask you this, Ken. If they had to play tomorrow, a 7-game series with Golden State, how many games do you think Cleveland could win, honestly?
I think it can go 7. I think they have the pieces, man. I think they just didn't have the coach and the system.
FIFO, what about you? What do you think?
What was the question?
I said if Golden State and Cleveland played tomorrow in a 7-game series, how many games do you think Cleveland could win?
I'm with Ken. It'll go 7 games. I think they could win. I think it's different when you're talking series because now I can just game plan for you. I know what's coming. Like, Golden State, man, in the regular season, the word that comes to me when I watch them play is onslaught. Because it happens. It's just a moment. Something happens, it switches, it snaps, and the game is out of hand. And there's nothing you can do to get back into it. They just put you away, and it happens fast. So I think when you're able to game plan for those type of guys, for teams like that, you can control it a little bit more. Like, it just doesn't happen. It just doesn't snap because you're more so prepared for it. You're more so ready for it. So I think it could go 7 games, man. And I would like Cleveland to win. But based off of what I see, man, it's Golden State. Steph is the real MVP, man. I can't go against him.
Yeah, with Blatt, I mean, I don't know about Lou. With Blatt, I probably wouldn't say 7. But forecasting ahead, if Lou does the things that they think he can do, then I think they can push it 7. I think they have enough pieces to compete to force their own matchup problems. It comes down to the coaching, man. And one last thing on Tyronn Lue, and I think FIFO and I, we were talking about this earlier. I mean, the guy, you know, FIFO spoke on his coaching pedigree under Doc Rivers, but he won a championship. He's played with Kobe. He's played with Shaq. He's been coached by Phil Jackson. He understands the work and the different sacrifices that you have to make in order to win a championship. So he has all of those things going for him. It's just whether or not he can instill that within his team. Blatt can speak to any of that. But Tyronn Lue, and just like Steve Kerr, can go in that locker room and say, this is how we did it, and this is how we're going to do it. It's just up to the team.
What about you, Ryan?
I need to see how Lue coaches. That's number one. I mean, I can sit here and speculate, but I wouldn't give them more than 2 wins at most based on last year. And that was without Kyrie and Kevin Love, but based on what I see defensively, at least, like, if we're talking Golden State, if they can push the pace on them like that and keep making them losing the picks or the screens or setting up threes and Cleveland gets demoralized like that again, Golden State's going to win, but I don't think it goes 7 games either. But again, I got to see how Lue coaches.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I think it's I say 6 at the most, but again, it goes back to I don't know what Lue is going to do as far as coaching, because I'm going to assume that even though he was up under Blatt, he'll have his own offensive and defensive philosophies that he'll want to express and have the team run going forward. That's what I think is going to be interesting, to see how they go as they make the transition. You know, because sometimes when you have a coach get fired, you know, my thing is you fire the coach if the guy behind him runs the same stuff as that he ran. I mean, then it's either the system or the players, one of the two. And so I'm interested to see what Lou is going to do, how he's going to coach, and more importantly, how will he use Kevin Love? Because I think Kevin Love is the X factor. But ultimately, like Ken and I, we were going back and forth on Twitter. Ultimately, this falls on LeBron. And Ken, you made a good point when you first came on about the pressure, about not LeBron not having enough time. Let's fast forward to June. Let's say they make it to the finals. They play San Antonio or Golden State, and they lose in 6 or 7. That's another year, no ring. What kind of pressure then is on Tyronn Lue? What kind of pressure then is on Cleveland? And I know we're getting a little ahead of ourselves, but I want to see where your perspective is from that point that you made earlier.
You know, well, look, Tyronn Lue will be out of there. But, you know, honestly, man, I don't know if there will be pressure on him. First of all, there's pressure to get to the finals, right? But we're speculating they get to the finals and lose. I think that for me, man, I'm not looking at Tyronn Lue. And it really depends on how well he coaches and the decisions that he makes. But I'm not looking at Tyronn Lue. I'm looking at LeBron, because this is the guy you lobbied for a year and a half. You got him, and it didn't make a difference. So will there be pressure on Lue? Of course, because, you know, he may have learned, right? So you give him half a season, the playoffs, to kind of learn the nuances of coaching. But if you don't come out on fire, you know, the next season, you're going to be out of there. And they're going to probably try to get in somebody even more experienced than Tyronn
Lue. Right. A lot of people have been floating out the name Mark Jackson. Do you think that's a possibility? And I know we're ahead of ourselves, because they gave Tyronn Lue, I think, a 2 or 3 year deal. So
3 year deal.
Okay, so he's got a 3 year deal. So, you know, checks coming in. So it's barring a catastrophe in the finals, safe to assume that he would be back next year, unless he clashed with LeBron or whatever like that. How likely do you think it would be to try to go get somebody outside of the organization if they found out that Tyronn Lue did not work? Go ahead, FIFO.
I don't know. I think this is way too early to speculate on that.
We're getting ahead of ourselves. We're thinking more hypothetically.
Because we need to give him a fair opportunity. We need to see what his thoughts and ideas are on how to utilize Kevin Love. Because let's be honest, that's 90%, or I'll say about 65% of the reason why they let David Black go. You know what I'm saying? The other percentage is, I think, respect and just NBA basketball acumen. Let's not question the man's basketball acumen in the totality of things, but as in the NBA, as it pertains to the NBA, he's just not ready. At least not for this. Not for this type of challenge. He's just not ready for that. So, you know, like Ken said, Tyronn's been through it. He's played through it. He's played with great players. He understands. Doc says that he has a way of being able to talk to players and tell them the truth, whether they like it or not, and get them to perform. You know what I'm saying? That's the main thing about coaching. Last night I heard an interview with David West where he said the most humbling thing was how Tim Duncan still gets coached by Popovich.
Right, right.
He said he gets coached hard. Like, he gets cussed out. You know what I'm saying? He gets broken down, and he applies everything. You know what I'm saying? And you need that. You need that. That's because when I'm your coach, I can be your friend, but I'm supposed to nitpick. I'm supposed to get you as close to perfect as possible. I'm supposed to push your buttons. You're not always supposed to like me. I'm supposed to get on your nerves some at times, but you got to know how and when to do that. And you have to have the cachet. And when you have not been in the NBA, how do you have that? How do you garner that respect? Especially last year when you had stories like when he got his first win and the players try to, you know, give him the game ball or something like that.
Right.
In Europe. Come on. Like, you're not ingratiating yourself into the NBA culture. You've never
been. You know what? That was probably the start of the ending right there.
Like, you haven't been here. You haven't done nothing in this league. So it's just, he was never the right guy for the championship team that they amassed. And let's give Lou time, because I think he can do it. I think, but we just have to see. We have to see him utilize Kevin Love. I think from a time management perspective, a roster, minutes and adjustments type of thing, I think it is going to be an improvement. This guy was part of basketball player personnel for Doc Rivers. He's also assistant coach. Like this guy has been waiting in the wings, and I think his opportunity is here. I think he takes principles from the triangle. He knows how to push buttons, man. You learn from the Zen master. And you learn from Doc, which is another player's coach. We just have to see. I think he will be successful.
Okay. What about you, Cam?
I think the biggest thing for me, man, and I've said it since last year, how are you going to use Kevin Love? And up until now, they haven't figured out a way to use him effectively and take advantage of the things that he can do. And that's the first thing I'm going to look at. The second, of course, defense. And the third for me is going to be, you know, the rotations, you know, because I think that even though the bench is playing poorly, you know, I think they have enough on the bench to be able to contribute. You know, will Mo Williams get back in the rotation and less Deli and bring Deli in?
That's your boy, Deli.
Look, yeah, I know, man. It's FIFO know how I felt about Deli at the beginning of last year. No. At the beginning of last year, I hated Deli. But FIFO kind of broke down Deli to me, and I was like, okay, I kind of understand his purpose. But, you know, for the most part, I had a lot of fun with Deli. What's up, FIFO?
I've been on Deli for 3 years. Ben put Ken on Deli. Ben.
Yeah. Ben. Yeah, he
I haven't,
he
I haven't found Deli yet.
but yeah, can you reduce LeBron's minutes like he wants he them reduced, which too. I think with Love, you can do that. You know, Kyrie, you know, can you get more from Shump, the rest of the guys on the bench? So rotations, you know, how you gonna use the roster is the third thing. And then, you know, after that, man, you know, how you coaching late game situations? Mm-hmm. So I think he'll be all right, but we gotta see. Again, they can win games just by stepping on the court.
That's true. What about you, Ryan?
Sorry, I got distracted because the person in the comments. What was the question
you
again?
Got a spirited conversation in the chat room there. What are y'all talking about? I see the conversation. Okay, y'all talking about.
The guy JPL NBA for life thinks the regular season doesn't count for anything, and that's an overreaction about that. Let me look at the chat here. Look up the thing here. He said like it didn't matter the regular season. Like they're good defensively. The playoffs, they're number one. Regular season doesn't matter. I told him if the regular season didn't matter, David Blatt would still have a job. You could cut through their defense. You can cut through the paint like a hot butter through knife. You could see that they got blown out to Portland, just like they got blown out to Golden State. Like FIFO pointing out, they needed a game-winning shot to beat Phoenix. And even though Golden State lost to he tried to use an example about Golden State losing to the Nuggets. I said, even though they lost by a one score, we're without Draymond playing on a back-to-back when they traveled, that's a different circumstance than getting blown out on your home court by almost 40 points.
Well, I mean, that game Monday was just embarrassing. I mean, it was – and I don't even know that game was necessarily the final straw, but that game was like – they were just like, okay. And I think while me and FIFO didn't necessarily see eye to eye on those points we were making early about Blatt, I think he made a great point in saying that it's the bounce back. We always hear about, especially like in football and basketball, these players-only meetings. Okay, so what happens in the games after the players-only meetings? Because – if you're having a players-only meeting, you're probably talking about the coach, right? So what happens after those games? How do you bounce back? So when you have those other games and you don't perform as well, then it's like, yeah, then your GM's going to be looking around like, okay, man, something's not clicking in here. And, you know, they seem, or at least David Griffin, he seems to have a pretty good pulse of what the team is. And, you know, like I said, I don't know that he necessarily had to go to LeBron, but I'm pretty sure they had conversations, or maybe, you know, they might have talked to Rich Paul, or they might have talked to LeBron's homeboy. I don't know. I'll say this, you know, there's still going to be a lot of pressure on Tyronn Lue, and there's still even more pressure on LeBron. I came into this season, and we said it on the first video, that I thought the pressure was on LeBron this year to win the finals, to win a ring. And it doesn't look like he's closer to now. It's still, we haven't even made it to the All-Star break. So anything can happen. God forbid, knock wood, somebody could get hurt for Golden State. Somebody could get hurt for San Antonio. But right now, they don't look like they could win a championship. But we still got a long way to go. So stranger things have happened.
Yeah.
I think they could win. If we saw Steve Kerr win as a rookie head coach, you know, like look, Cleveland is the prohibitive favorite to come out the East. Who's really?
Oh, of course. No, nobody. Nobody. I mean, like,
sure. In the seven games.
Is there anybody in the East that could give Cleveland seven games?
I think Chicago is pretty serious.
If we could get D-Rose, like, with the way D-Rose looked the other night.
I got to disagree a little bit with that.
Who do you think could give?
Yeah, because they need to trim their front court depth because it's messing up their rotations and their rhythm.
Who do you think they should sit? Because Noah's not playing as much.
Well, yeah, but they're still putting – I'm watching them play the Celtics. They're getting blown out defensively right now by at least 20 points. I need to update it because I need to check again. But I think the Raptors could give a better shot, honestly.
I don't think the Raptors can push them to seven, though. They'll give them a run.
They'd give a better shot offensively. Defense, you got a point. They've been better. But as of right now, the way I've been seeing, they do seem to be clicking better. But Chicago has the depth to fight for it. But it's if it was still Thibodeau, I'd feel better about it. But the way with Hoiberg's been going and they don't seem to be clicking like they used to, it seems like they need to trim their rotation down because they're starting Tony Snell still. And Mirotić is coming off the bench. So, I mean, I could understand why someone would say Chicago, but I don't think
I would probably think Chicago. And it all depends on D Rose. I mean, you know what you're gonna get from Jimmy Butler. D Rose looked good the other night, man. He just didn't have any help. And you look up again.
Yeah, he was scoring. Yeah,
you look up again, and here it is to FIFO's point. Golden State was up by like six. And then it went from 6 to like 16, like in just a matter of minutes. And you can't have that. I mean, like, there's no – and the thing about Golden State, for the most part, from what I've seen this year, when they get up 15, 20 on you – bless you. When they get up 15, 20 on you, it's a wrap. It ain't no letting you back into the game. They try to put the hammer to you.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out to AJ. AJ like, said any team Drake will never win.
It's like I said, ban Drake.
Oh man. Why y'all so hard on Aubrey?
Look what he did to Serena.
Hey man. Yeah, just keep Drake away from my don't let Drake show up at the Super Bowl. Drake can show up at the Super Bowl.
Right.
Drake can show up at the Super Bowl and game in a tie.
No, but
what's up, Ron?
So in all seriousness, we gotta see what Tyronn Lue does. Q and I are gonna talk about it on the podcast when we record tomorrow.
No doubt.
Yeah, I ain't vote.
So all right, youtube.com/deadinsports, 9 PM.
Hit us up on Twitter at deadinsports.
Yeah, that's it. So I'm hungry. I'm going to get some Subway.
All right, man.
All right, y'all. Peace.